This is KUT. For three decades now, musicians have been making their ways to Austin in March, hoping South by Southwest will provide that elusive boost to their musical careers. It's happened countless times, but as KUT's Trey Shar experienced firsthand back in 1989, it often doesn't always happen exactly as planned.
In 1989, Austin was smaller and growing fast, just like South by Southwest, which had started 2 years earlier as a conference of music industry insiders. As the little print ad proclaimed at the time, the biggest music festival in Texas, 250 bands, 50 solo artists, 23 clubs, 3 nights. And perhaps the most surprisingly low number, one $10 ticket gets you into all shows. It's a little different these days. Another difference, in some ways it was easier in those early years for an upstart rock band to get an official showcase, if you got your application and demo tape in on time. Here's lyricist and vocalist James Bryant.
I remember having, you know, limited expectations about being able to actually play, even if he hadn't fudged the timing of the turning in of the application. So, you know, and we were disappointed not to get the showcase. Although at the time, I'm sure we, you know, a couple of years before, we were literally children. So it's probably, you know, screw them, blah, 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 you know, just very young and in many ways stupid.
The name of the band, Dread. James and I had started it a little less than a year earlier with guitarist Joe Novak and bassist Mike Peoples. I was the drummer. In the hard rock universe of the late 80s, Guns N' Roses had helped supplant the hair metal that had reigned earlier in the 80s, and in some ways GNR contributed to the major label signing of Austin band Dangerous Toys after South by Southwest in 1988. With the ascendance of the even heavier rock of bands like Metallica, we were convinced that this would be our time. So, missed application deadline notwithstanding, rather than consign South by Southwest 89 to the missed opportunity file, we decided to bring that opportunity literally to us.
It felt at the time like that was even better than a South by Southwest showcase, because just because you're playing doesn't mean that the A&R guy from Metal Blade Records is going to be in the room. And he made a special trip to come to our place to listen to us rehearse, which seemed like a huge deal.
An honest-to-goodness old-school record company A&R man, artists and repertoire. He could sign us to Metal Blade Records. So there he was, watching us play. He said there must be something in the water down here in Austin that fomented the creation of a complex, odd time signature brand of metal. Then he said something that was intended to be encouraging, but was not received that way. He wanted to show us some of what was happening in L.A., what he thought was on the cusp of breaking big, and it was kind of disheartening to me. A resurgence of hair/glam metal, and I'm pretty sure one of the bands was Winger.
I must have blocked that out. I don't remember that at all.
He also said something else. He said it was the most important advice he could give, and historically the hardest to follow. He said, whatever you do, stay together. Stay together. We nodded earnestly and anticipated the phone call to come. It never did. We did stay together, for several more months anyway. By the time South by Southwest rolled around again, Dread had disbanded, for reasons mostly to do with its members' age range of 20 to 21. There was a reunion show the following year. Recommended by the Chronicle, hundreds of people packed Liberty Lunch on that August night, the fireworks of Aquafest above, sending us off into adulthood, or something like it. Trey Shar, KUT News.